All right, people. It's 9 o'clock, California, Pacific Standard Time, which makes it about 11 o'clock in Central Texas, Central Time, and midnight back east, Eastern Standard Time. And this is the Republic Broadcasting Network, your program in the zone. Host Lieutenant Eric Schein was up for promotion to Lieutenant Commander. You know, I'd probably be a captain by now in the Navy. Except back in 2003, or well before that, the Coast Guard, to cover up whistleblowing about what was going on in our merchant marine and our maritime industry, where we have national and, in fact, foreign and international players actively acting within the United States to take down not only our merchant marine, but our country. And, just the foreign nature of a lot of the people that are involved in my own proceedings is simply amazing. And in these proceedings, they can use hearsay within hearsay to convict you. I don't know if anybody's seen out there about what's going on with PFC Manning and how they've basically violated his privacy and privilege rights, saying that he was on suicide watch and mental health referral, when all of that information is supposed to be protected, private, privileged, and they're not supposed to say anything about that. And some of the reporters actually tried to confront, I think the guy's name wasn't Morrell, I'm trying to think of who, maybe one of the callers will remember, but he was something like that, Morrell. He was a spokesperson for the White House talking about, or actually I think he was DOD, talking about the issues and what's going on with Manning. People need to get, you know, this guy, he's a young kid, and he's out there trying to present and even release or give out the truth, or what he believes is the truth. And our government, you know, that's why we pass all these sunshine laws, is so that people within the government who know and understand and have the, you know, legal expertise and or specific training in a certain job category or area can come out and explain to the people and even, you know, inform the people when things are going on that aren't right. I guess they're trying to kind of envelop what's going on with Manning under the whole WikiLeaks thing. But I find some very strong parallels to what's going on with Manning to my own situation, to where they've gone in and stolen medical records, falsified medical records. They've withheld the official record until days before my appeal is due, and only released it to me now, the Coast Guard has, guarding it as if it were some kind of national security interest, and then now providing me a copy of the official record after we've gotten some extensions for time, but only giving me a copy of the official record after that time has expired and just days before the appeal is due, so as not only to obstruct justice, but prevent my ability to be able to prepare and perfect and file an appeal. And this is the standard practice in what's going on behind the scenes, especially in what, you know, the Coast Guard itself has declared these to be Article 32 military tribunals, and I said Article 2. Okay, that was kind of music is jumping all over me here. We'll be right back. Let me throw out the call-in number, and hopefully we'll get James Corbett on the line. He may have taken the day off without notice. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back after this commercial break. This is In the Zone. We are live. This is Republic Broadcasting Network. All right, we're coming back, and we're live again, and we've got James Corbett on the program, and I was talking to him in the commercial break about, James, well, welcome to the show, of course.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
How's things going?
It's going pretty good, and it's already Sunday over here in Japan, and the world is still around, so I guess that's a good sign.
Well, good. And I was watching something on the History Channel or whatever about Prophets of Doom. And they're getting into all this stuff about the water and, you know, and I'm like, and they're talking about, you know, we only have limited natural resources and blah, 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 blah. You know, end of the world, end of the world. It makes me think back to when the king, you know, you couldn't hunt on his, you know, land or property and go after his critters because, you know, there's only so much to go around.
And that Bingo. Was
back in the 1500s or 1200s
The peasants live at the mercy of the elite, and unfortunately not much has changed.
Well, but importantly though, and mine, you know, my perspective on it is just look up into the night sky and the resources are limitless. The one key resource that we are limited in is human beings.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a good point to make, because we're certainly on the edge of just unimaginable scientific breakthroughs and progress that could be used to absolutely open up not just this world, but other worlds for human exploration. And if we were using that technology for that purpose, we could achieve unbelievable things. But unfortunately, we know who's in control of much of the technology that's being rolled out.
Right, and they want to clamp down and make sure that so that if we get off this planet, we do it as either a agent for a corporation or an agent for a government.
And that's pretty much it. Well, I'm sure Blade Runner is an ideal to some people, but a nightmare to others. So best people out there better decide which one they are.
Well, and that's where you can see what's going on in Greece and Spain, and you've seen what's going on in Egypt now as well.
In fact, that's what I'm going to be covering on my Sunday update this week. So I'm just working on the script for that right now. But it's an extremely interesting time at any rate. I mean, there's a lot going on. And of course, the same old players are trying to keep their hand in every pie. But I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off. I mean, it really is a fight for information. And it's really scary what they did with the internet in Egypt.
Oh, and that is a prelude to what they can and probably will do here.
Exactly.
But I think there's also technology coming out because, you know, we are, and it's not just America, it's Canada as well, it's England, it's many of the other European countries, it's Japan, it's even China, to where at some point people are coming up with I mean, one of the things that we used to have was shortwave radios. You know,
absolutely, and it doesn't even have to go there. If you actually look at the way the Egyptian government took down the internet access, they just asked the ISPs to take down DNS servers, which are the domain name servers that allow you to connect to other websites, because they take your www.corbettreport.com and they convert it into the numbers that correspond to the IP address of the server. And that's all they did. They took that server away. There are free domain name servers out there. So if you know how to route your computer to a domain name server, you can get around that type of thing very easily. And so that's why it wasn't 100% stoppage of internet traffic. So there are ways around it. And they cannot actually totally shut down the internet. It's just, the vast majority of people don't really know what they're doing, so we have to start raising awareness of things like that.
Well, and that's what I was going to say, is that even what's going on in Egypt will raise awareness for the masses, for the world, of ways to get around this and be able to communicate with one another and make sure that at some point, you know, I mean, what are they fighting? They're fighting a 30-year military dictatorship.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look at China. I mean, China, one of the most draconian tyrannies on earth, and they still can't clamp down the internet completely. People find ways around the Great Firewall. So there are ways to do it, and we have to step up our game and make sure that we have those contingencies in place for when the hammer does come down.
Well, and I think, what's going on with Manning is pretty interesting as well, and I really, you know, put my heart and thoughts out to that individual. You know, this is a young kid in his early 20s who's being abused. I mean, he's in solitary confinement. He didn't give out secrets to nukes. He released a video that was a war crime and basically saying, look, this is what these people did. I believe it's illegal and unlawful.
Well, actually, we don't even know that he did that yet. All that is completely based on just Adrian Lamo, this hacker turned informant for the FBI, and what he says about the chat logs that Wired.com Wired.com, yeah, has the chat logs, but they've only released a tiny bit of it because they don't want to release personal information or whatever. But the things that corroborate his story have not been released. So we don't even know exactly what Manning has claimed to do, and we have absolutely no idea if he actually did do what he's claimed to do, but he is being held in this complete... Yeah, no, 23 hours a day in a cell, absolutely no access to anyone outside, no writing paper, no TV, no nothing. It's absolutely unconscionable the way they're treating him.
Well, and what has he really done? I mean, even
we don't even know exactly. I mean,
say he did really release that video. What crime is that really? Those aren't national security secrets because there was a crime there. There were murders of civilians by military personnel who targeted civilians intentionally with military assets.
That's right.
And I'm a military officer. I went to a military academy, and I don't want people who are, you know, like I'm trying to think of the guy. It was Callahan in Vietnam with My Lai, or
yeah, the name's not going to come to me, but
Cali, I think is one of the names.
Right.
I think Cali was the or something like that. It begins with a C A, and then I think it's Cali. But he was the individual that was charged, not in the cover up, but actually being involved in the massacre. And you know, I don't want as an American citizen, I don't want as a soldier, a naval officer, or you know, anyone serving in any branch, to have to work alongside somebody who was involved in war crimes, to cover it up, to be forced to work with them, to not investigate it, to not charge and prosecute that individual. Because, you know, like what's going on with the Coast Guard, we've got individuals who are using our own military assets, our own military resources here in the United States against our own people now. The people that are willing to do this overseas to foreigners are oftentimes the very same people that are willing to violate all these precepts, all the constraints, all the laws, rules, and regulations that come from under articles of war or international conventions and injure civilians abroad without any kind of, you know, never mind as to who they are and that whether they're a combatant or not, lawful or otherwise. And to target them. And that's in violation of rules of engagement. And at some point, if these people are allowed to stay in the system, what is to stop them from making their way up through the ranks and then use the same or have the same attitude and use that against our own people? I mean, it's not a good,
That's right. I mean, and
good turnout for anyone.
Exactly. And of course, we know that ultimately this is coming from the top down, but of course, it's being fostered and festering down in the lower ranks. And the people who are willing to play along with these things are going up through the ranks. And the people who aren't are not only not being protected, but are actually being prosecuted and persecuted. And in the case of people like Pat Tillman, just fragged. And unfortunately, that's nothing new, but it's absolutely horrific the degree to which it's going on in this current war on terror paradigm.
Well, there's no accountability. Like in my own situation, we've got admirals like Admiral Allen, Admiral Loy, Admiral Collins, and Vice Admiral Cray. Vice Admiral O'Hara. These are all people at the very top who are directly involved in my own affairs.
Absolutely. Well, why don't you get a little bit more into the state of your appeal then?
Well, I was going to mention as we were talking in the commercial break, and let me throw out the call-in number again, 800-313-9443. This program is In the Zone. My co-host, James Corbett from thecorbettreport.com. I am Lieutenant Eric Shine. I was up for promotion to Lieutenant Commander in the Navy as a graduate of Kings Point Merchant Marine Academy, where I come out as a commissioned naval officer serving on special duty in the Merchant Marine. But in these proceedings, they can use hearsay within hearsay to find you guilty of whatever you're charged with. I mean, I don't know. That's as unconstitutional and unimaginable. I mean, it's as close to a witch hunt or a privy council or a star chamber as one should care to imagine. Beyond that, they're forcing me to file my own appeal, even though they're trying to prove that I'm medically, mentally incompetent. have stolen, falsified medical records and more, you know, trying to say that I said at one point that evil spirits possessed me at times. And if that's true, it's the evil spirits of the Coast Guard that possess me. And I'm joking, of course. A little tongue-in-cheek, you know, right, a little perverse humor.
Don't worry, I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah, right, I'm sure. And recording it all. Mm-hmm. You know, they even brought that up in the proceedings, even with RBN. They filed documents about Republic Broadcasting Network in the proceedings about my show and about my website. And you've been to my website, right?
I have indeed, many times.
There's nothing on there that I'm like trying to overturn the United States government.
Not even remotely, no.
Right, but they're trying to somehow espouse this and declare this and take away my right not only to work as a licensed, degreed Marine engineer, but also as a naval officer. You know, I should have been able to serve, even though I don't agree with the war, doesn't mean that I can and won't do my job.
Absolutely, and I think that's something that they couldn't possibly wrap their heads around. And anything that looks at like sedition is going to be treated that way, or anything that goes against their agenda
is treasonous to them.
Exactly.
We'll be right back. 800-313-9443. All right, we're back. 800-313-9443 is the call-in number. And if you call in, we got a couple open lines. Do it quick, because now that they're open, they fill up fast. Especially when we have James Corbett on the program like we do and like we have had for several months now. James, how long has it been? Like 6 months more?
I don't know. I haven't been counting. I think it's only been 4 or 5. I don't know.
But it's getting there. It's
Yeah.
I appreciate the effort you've put into and the time, because I know you're swamped and got way too much going on. But before the break, we were talking about in the break, the Coast Guard has, as a branch of military that I'm not in, and saying as I'm a civilian, has forced me to file an appeal to the commandant without a copy of the official record, and in the way they have this set up is like for the FAA, which is a civilian authority, if they bring charges against you and want to take away your pilot's license, they do it before the NTSB. They have an individual ALJ in the NTSB who hears your case. Then if you appeal it, it goes to the full board of all 5 ALJs or however many ALJs, I think it's 5, who sit on the full board at the NTSB. For the Coast Guard matters, the Coast Guard is not like the FAA. It's a branch of military. They're using military personnel like JAG officers to charge and prosecute who they are saying and identifying are civilians. You go before an ALJ in the Coast Guard system, and then if you appeal it, the Coast Guard commandant is who you appeal it to. They could send you back to the ALJ as they've done in my own. They remanded it back to the ALJ because he refused to hold a hearing. He then recuses himself. Even though I had already motioned for his recusal, they give it over to a new ALJ who takes it over as if he's the old ALJ, upholds all of the prior ALJ's decisions as if they were his own, no de novo proceeding. He then rules on it. I appeal it to the commandant again. Then I have to appeal from the commandant, and then they put out a final decision, what's called a commandant's decision on appeal, and then I have to appeal that to the NTSB. That interim step before a branch of military to the head of a branch of military and the Coast Guard commandant, who's the head of a branch of military and Homeland Security, not the Department of Defense, doesn't exist in the FAA-NTSB deal. And they do this as a way of almost, you could think of it as psychological waterboarding, as to keep you down and prevent. It's taken me 8, 9, almost 10 years to even get through a branch of military that I'm not in, into the NTSB, and it becomes real clear that the Coast Guard, as this branch of military, is keeping people within these proceedings until they're either exhausted or even die and never make it out to appeal to a civilian agency who then rules upon appeal where a branch of military is adjudicating a case involving a civilian and civil law and a civilian quote-unquote license, and thus adjudicating and making, as a branch of military, civilian law and going before a civilian authority like the NTSB to finalize their decision. And so right now I'm in the midst of filing my appeal to the NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board. That's a independent civilian agency that hears cases like from the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA. And I'm against the commandant, the head of a branch of military that I'm not in. All of these proceedings were set up as if I were in the Coast Guard, and they were taken from the Coast Guard's own internal proceedings under the Administrative Procedure Act, the APA, for its own personnel. But now that the Coast Guard personnel come under Title 10 in the UCMJ, military law for its own personnel, they are using the APA, civil service law, civilian law, that's supposed to be used for the Coast Guard and its own personnel instead, for other civilians, and doing that under martial law, military rule, military dictatorship. Even the woman who was representing the Coast Guard as the opposition in the appellate matters, she's a civilian, but her supervisor is Commander Gilraith in the Coast Guard command. He's a uniform commissioned military officer in the Coast Guard in Homeland Security.
Eric, I don't know what the APA is.
The APA is Administrative Procedure Act. It's basically like the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure for federal district courts and federal courts, but it's the law that came out after World War II for departments and agencies, like what England would call ministries, to carry on civilian civil service due process, so that you couldn't lose any life, liberty, or property within the agency, forcing the agency to pay for that due process, protect the rights of its own people and personnel, and not denying your right to get into court. But this whole administrative system from underneath the executive branch has expanded. It's almost like they've taken what they use for the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles, for a civilian automobile license, and expanded that to include everybody and everything, and then placed it under the control of a branch of military like Coast Guard and Homeland Security.
So it's kind of this extrajudicial thing that they can use to shunt you off into that instead of actual legal proceedings?
Yeah, I was actually in federal district court when all this stuff started. Right. And they've used these military tribunals to shut down my grievances that were, or civil complaints that were, in federal district court. Well, you see, we've got a couple callers. We'll go to the callers here in a minute when we get back.
All right. I hope you'll stick around for that, and I hope you'll continue listening. It's James Corbett of CorbettReport.com and Lieutenant Eric Schein of MartialLaw911.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
All right, we're back, and we want to go to some calls real quick. Let's go to Carlisle in Minnesota.
Yeah, hello, fellas.
How's it going?
Hello.
With all the attacks that the U.S., the trillions of dollars that we've been spending through the military with all the invasions in the Middle East, it seemed to me like the U.S. military is really just being used as a satellite of Israel to enforce their foreign policy. I'm wondering, you know, if the U.S. military don't want a fella, why not call up the folks in Israel and ask them if you can join up with that, with their army over there?
You're breaking up really bad. Can you call back or try to call back and see what...
Am I coming through now?
Try again. Go ahead. I heard a little bit of what you said, but go ahead real quick again, slowly.
It seemed to me with the trillions of dollars that the U.S. is spending on invasions
right.
in the Middle East,
right,
that we're really just being used as a satellite of Israel to enforce their foreign policy. And I'm wondering, you know, if the U.S. military doesn't want a fella, why can't he just call up over to Israel, ask the army if they want over there, if he want to join up with their army?
Well, why isn't go ahead, James.
I was going to say, you mean like Rahm Emanuel did back in the Gulf War?
Yeah.
Yeah, signed up for the Israel Defense Force. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of a conflict of an interest there.
Do you think? Yeah, the chief of staff being a fixed IDF officer, son of a Ergun terrorist. Yeah.
That would be like somebody here in the United States going and being a member of the French Foreign Legion and then trying to run for president. I don't think anybody would buy it.
Well, hopefully the voters of Chicago don't vote him in as mayor. I shudder to think.
Well, you heard they kicked him off the ballot or something. I don't know.
The Illinois State Supreme Court just ruled he's back on, and that's the final decision.
I hope he doesn't win because he's a total dirtbag in my book. But
I mean, if he can be the presidential chief of staff and mayor of Chicago, and be serving in the Israeli army. It seems like they should have a reciprocal agreement where any American citizen, because our military is just being used as a satellite to enforce their foreign policy with all these invasions that we're doing in the Middle East.
But I don't think a lot of, because if you go back through history, though, too, I think that what we're doing accompanying Israel is not necessarily all about Israel. It's about Europe as well. Because Europe has, and England to point at one nation or the United Kingdom, has had a hand in what's gone on in the Middle East. I mean, Iraq wouldn't exist if it wasn't for England. You know, if you go back to the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire, and more, a lot of those empires were broken up by the Brits. And a lot of these countries were made, and intentionally, to a degree, made, like even how India and Pakistan was created. Was made to have like a false parting line to where you would have, just like in Vietnam or Korea, you'd have a north and a south. Just like in Germany, you have an east and a west, to where you have conflicting, competing sides that could be set against each other with two ideologies that would bicker and fight until the end of time.
Well, how about,
did you ever read Paris 1918?
Say again?
Did you ever read Paris 1918?
Not that I know of.
Good book. It's all about the Treaty of Versailles and how that created all these arbitrary countries and carved out the map in a way that would be beneficial to the European powers that had just won the war. But I mean, Palestine was a British mandate until they started getting bombed and turned their tails and ran. So,
right. I mean, China was to a large degree, and a lot of these other countries that the United States is or territories the United States has taken over were British colonies. You know, at some point in time, the East Indies Corporation, and they're using the same philosophy, same mindset, the concept of the corporation as a feudal state or a feudal empire to basically try to reestablish and even hold these royal families in power. And I mean, I think people are finally starting to see that, and we're starting to see an uprising around the world against these elites, aristocrats, technocrats, self-appointed royal families like the Habsburgs, the Windsors, and others, to where people have just had enough. I mean, to the point where I think finally, maybe, people will say, we do not need royal families in any country in the world, period.
And or I know self-appointed president dictators for life, like Mubarak.
Exactly.
I really, when you come up with the royal family thing, you know, I think you got your head back in a history book, though. If you look at, I mean, certainly what you're saying is true and historically speaking, but I mean, if you look at the main players today, I'm seeing a much heavier hand here of just a simple expansion of the Israeli state.
Yeah, but Carlisle, don't you see some kind of curious information in the fact that we have, as the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, a woman named Napolitano, and then at the same time, and I'm not sure if he's still in there, Berlusconi was Prime Minister, I think, and then the President was named Napolitano as well. And it's like, don't look at it. It's the same name in America that's the same name in Italy, as we have this rise in fascism, and we've got like guys like Scalia sitting on the Supreme Court whose father was the president of the American Fascist Society. I mean,
I can tell you, though, if you go to Wall Street and you go to Washington, D.C., the amount of Italians that are high up on playing in that field, extremely low percentage. The percentage of Jews is extremely high.
Well, I mean, but there's also a lot of Germans too, and you know,
it's extremely low. You look at all of the most powerful chairmen of congressional committees, they're all Jews. You know, Barney Frank, Waxman, Boxer, Feinstein, Chuck Schumer. All of the power players in Washington are Jews, and the same is true on Wall Street.
If people want to make this about race, they've already lost the argument, I think.
Yeah, I think let's go on to Willis in Idaho. Willis.
Hello, you there?
Yeah. Hey, Willis, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, Eric, I wanted to tell you, I really appreciate the fight you're doing. I know it came to you, but making us aware of this and continuing the fight is vitally important for all of us to understand what this means to the rest of us. And I want to tell James what an awesome addition he is to your show. I used to listen to your show sometimes over on the other network, and I know you're worn down, and this is your whole life you're messing with here, but you got a little hard to listen to, and James really picks it up. He gives you somebody to bounce off of, and your show's 100% turnaround. So thank you, James, because I see that's probably what you see too is the importance of this, and so good job for being a fellow human being and helping Eric out on this.
Well, thank you, Willis. I mean, that's great to hear, and it's such an important story that I think, yeah, absolutely, I'm honored to be a part of it and helping spread information about it. So that's basically why I'm here, and I'm glad that it's helping.
Yeah.
Well, any specific questions or anything, Willis?
No, I just wanted to, you know, there's been times when you're a little down, and I understand that. We're all doing our own fight. Believe me, I could maybe do a radio show sometimes of some of the things that have happened to me. You know, the IRS took my family's home when I was a young person, and I know that my parents, we all know our parents, and I know my parents didn't do what the IRS said they did. I also just happened to be, I used to mow the lawns for a congressman named George Hansen. He was here in Idaho, and he got taken down by the IRS by getting involved in some of the cases, and just all the things that are going on. It is such a huge generational clamp.
Well, you see, Willis, real quick, let me interject, is that, like, in San Diego, Congressman Duncan Hunter, he's one of the individuals who appointed me to the academy. He was moving on and going to retire as congressman. He'd been in there for 20, 30 years. And he passed over the seat to his son, who was named Congressman Duncan Hunter Jr. And people were so, I guess, you know, ignorant and didn't, you know, just saw that, hey, this guy's been in there for a while, same guy. Is there a difference between senior and junior? Nah, I don't think so. And he took over his father's seat. That, to me, is royalism. That in and of itself is a sure sign of that kind of a mentality, to where you're passing on a government seat of power to your heirs. And why were not the people of San Diego up in arms? And I don't mean that literally, but, you know, at least by their votes and, you know, pulling the lever or popping the chads or whatever, to make sure that, no, look, we need other people in there. We need new ideas. We need a different family. We need different individuals. We don't want the son of the guy that's been in there for the last 20, 30 years so that he can pass on favors to all of his friends and family, or just even get new blood in there. Sorry, you know.
That's a crazy story and a perfect example of the ridiculous apathy of the American people.
Well, look at where I'm at. I mean, as far as apathy, just a few people, like even James has helped me out, like you've even noted. And I mean, I get pretty down with everything that's going on, and I'm overwhelmed right now, even just trying to do the appeal. And it does help, and you know, that's, I reached out to James, and James had me on his program, and he's interviewed me a bunch. And I, you know, asked him, hey, can you help me out here and come on and co-host? I think it'll help you. I know it'll help me. I think it'll help the listeners. And like you even pointed out yourself, it has, you know, you stated it's helped out the quality of the show. And I agree. And hopefully James, you know, James was looking, and I think John Stadtmiller was going to give him his own show, or, you know, some kind of opportunity there. And for whatever reason, James has stayed on there, and I'm thankful for that. Because these issues, like what's going on with the Coast Guard, is enormously important, and people really need to understand. They're saying that they're a branch of military now in Homeland Security, not the Department of Defense, and that they can administer civilian affairs. That's not our system. That's a military dictatorship. That's a banana republic.
Yeah, agreed. Whatever happened to Posse Comitatus, yeah.
Well, they're saying that the Coast Guard has an exception to that, or a waiver, and the waiver was given because the Coast Guard's not a branch of military. They're supposed to be a civil service agency.
It is.
You
got to
love the circular logic there.
Yeah.
Right, well, and then they've taken on, and because of the creation of Homeland Security, which is the biggest abortion to the Constitution yet, this whole, I've been saying since it was created, the Department of Homeland Security should go away. It would be the best thing that could happen in the United States right now.
It'd be a dang good step, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
I nominate abortion to the Constitution as a new phrase. I think that's great and a pretty good description of Homeland Security if I've ever heard one.
Well, I mean, look what Napolitano has done. She's actually put out a delegation stating that the Coast Guard is now in charge of, as a branch of military and Homeland Security, is in charge of the United States Merchant Marine. That means anybody who's on a tuna boat, anybody who's on an oil tanker, anybody who's on a container ship, anybody who's on a tug or a ferry, you're now under the auspices of a special branch of military in Homeland Security that's coming under Title 10 of the UCMJ and military law, which is a form of martial law. It ain't coming. It's here.
Oh.
And I've asked, but importantly, the American people have pushed back on this before. But people have only done it with the help of others. I can't do this by myself. I really need help and support. I'm filing the appeal myself. I haven't given up. I haven't given up on the American people. I'm still hoping for some kind of an angel to step forward with not only money, but some kind of legal help, like a guy like Jerry Spence or somebody who could just clean the clocks and take this all the way to the Supreme Court if they had to. And even to the point to embarrass the Supreme Court, that if they make such a decision to say this, that people would get it. That our own Supreme Court has ruled that the military can dictate to the American citizens and civilians what kind of law they will live under. Because that is a military dictatorship.
Well, and we know it's coming. You know, I think part of the problem, at least as I see it, is when I'm sitting here listening to the radio shows, what I'm doing is like today I just got back from a 12-hour conference on these kind of things, and the people who are paying attention are overwhelmed. We don't know where to start. There is so much going on in every direction. We are being attacked, and this is a war. We are at war. Just most people are too stupid to see it. Where my problem and my frustration comes in is I see so much. I say it all the time. I know too much
But pick one thing and get actively involved, because then you'll find out that you're not only an expert on that, you'll become an expert on a lot of other stuff as well, because it's all interrelated.
Agreed. 100%. Yeah, it is all interrelated.
But this is one issue. This crossing the Rubicon, you know, basically to where the military has now taken over, because the Coast Guard is not, they now control the Environmental Protection Act. They control the Oil Pollution Act. These are civilian laws that are supposed to go after corporations to protect us and our natural resources from the corporations. They're now being run by individuals who are corporatists, like Admiral Allen. Admiral Allen, and you know, James brought this up because I hadn't kept up on it. Admiral Allen left the Coast Guard. He became the National Incident Commander before leaving the Coast Guard, then stayed on as that after he left the Coast Guard as the Admiral, and now he's working for the RAND Corporation. And Admiral Loy before him, two commandants before him, is working for Lockheed Martin. It's that military-industrial complex carousel where you've got the same people that are making the laws, rules, and regulations to benefit the military-industrial complex are then going to work for the very companies like Lockheed Martin, who Admiral Loy set up the TWIC card for, the Transportation Worker Identification Card, which is a biometric ID card. They're IDing transportation workers because of what terrorists did or didn't do. Or what our government did or didn't do in preventing them from doing that. So we're all being punished, and this is the mentality of these individuals, not all individuals, these individuals in government, and this is what happened to me at the academy. We had some guy cut the lanyards for, it's the tallest flagpole in the world, unguided flagpole, it's like 180 feet or whatever, and to go up and put the lanyard back over for the flag is a chore in and of itself. Somebody cut the lines, so they punished the whole academy until somebody turned in whoever did it. That's the kind of mentality that these guys have, is punish the world for what a few did instead of going after the few, finding out who did it and punishing them and doing it in a proper manner, applying due process, applying the Constitution, applying all the protections that we would want guaranteed to ourselves. Especially because we're supposed to presume that somebody is innocent until proven guilty. Hold on, you can come back into this next section if you want. 800-313-9443. All right, we're back. And I'm going to throw it back to James and to Willis, let you guys close it out. And
all right. Well, let's just go straight back to Willis. Willis, are you still there?
Yeah.
You say you've been listening to Eric for some time. How long have you been listening to his story?
Well, he was back on the other network for a little while, and I would just go through. I'm really enjoying these alternative. I used to read a lot. I used to read sometimes a book a day. And I'm finding that I can listen to these shows, and as websites or terms coming up, I put it out on the dictionary or on the computer on the net, you know, and I'm just I'm learning a lot. So I really appreciate these shows.
Yeah, well, that's how I started to get into this as well. So that's great. So you say you just got back from a conference. What kind of conference were you attending?
We've got a pretty active group up here in Northern Idaho. We're finding out that they're starting these enclaves. I don't know if you've heard about these, but China is setting up. They've got a proposed 30,000 acres set aside. Our governor went over there and just went down on his hands and knees to China and said, "Hey, Idaho wants to do trade with you." Well, the trade is that they come over, they bring their own workers. They set up these compounds that are fully fenced. They have their own police force, their own fire. This one is going to have its own airport.
You mean kind of like what we did with the Chinese for the railroads back in the 1800s.
And the Indians on the reservation.
Yep.
A word that I think you guys, that we all need to work into our dictionary and start to have a good understanding of is called mercantilism.
Yep. And, I've talked about it.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yeah. It's been a while, but oh, yeah.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left, but just to give a quick breakdown for listeners out there.
Well, it started with out of Europe. Basically, it's another word for this public-private foundations and these partnership, public-private partnerships that you're hearing spoken of.
It was probably a precursor to fascism.
Yeah. And boy, are we seeing it! You know, where the government actually the big business drives government, and the government that we're going back to feudalism.
It's because rather than the benefits being shared amongst all the people, as far as like having the postal service and having it provide certain things, and then technology and everything in R&D go to and accrue to the people, all of us. They want that to be turned over. Even now, they're talking about shutting down 2,000 Postal Service offices and privatize them all so that it's a family or private families or a set of families. And a lot of these families are coming over from foreign countries now and buying up these UPS stores.
This is why you're awesome. This is why we need you to stay on there. Precisely. So So I'll get off of here. It's been good talking to you guys. Keep up the fight, and we're all the ones, like I said, that are paying attention. We are trying to do something, but it's a hard gig out there for everybody involved.
Well, I know in Idaho you may not have as much of a concern as about the Coast Guard, although there is plenty of water in Idaho. And the Coast Guard, anything and everything attached to the water, even as far as rainfall, the Coast Guard feels that it has authority and jurisdiction over now. Anything within 100 miles of any body of water, salt or fresh, and no matter how that body of water comes about, man-made or otherwise.
Oh, they've done more than that. They've done more than that. Are you aware of these spikes of the Coast Guard? You can climb lots of mountains. I used to climb mountains all over Oregon. I used to live in Oregon, Idaho, Montana. The Coast Guard has gone. You can go and find these spikes that they've pounded in the top of the mountain, and they say high water mark. And so everything
below
exactly.
That, right. Yeah.
Everything below that is admiralty law.
Yep. And that's why I said that, you know, like Atlantis isn't necessarily a continent that was lost at some time. It's the continent under the sea that is governed by admiralty, and that's where these guys operate from, which is international law. It's war. It's commerce. It's everything. It's constitutional. It's everything under the sun all in one.
And that's going to do it for another episode. We're done. So stay tuned for more next week. And I'm your host, James Corbett, CorbettReport.com, with Lieutenant Eric Schein, MartialLaw911.com, crossing the Rubicon.